have never met a true Christ follower who did not want to be a life changer. Oh, I met lots of people who were not followers of Jesus, people who virtually had no or very little desire to sacrifice, to bless people outside of their immediate family. But true Christ followers are different. True Christ followers are filled with the Spirit of Jesus, and they're born again. And part of that rebirth means that they want to be a life changer. They want to be part of bringing people who are far from God closer to God. They want to be part of helping people grow in Christ. They want, no matter where people are, close or far from God, they want to be part of bringing God's love and healing and joy to other people. I don't know any true Christ followers who don't want to be a life changer. But I know many people who follow Jesus who are frustrated, who are disappointed because they see little or no evidence that they themselves are life changers. They look in their lives and they see no evidence that they've ever really led anyone to Christ. They don't see any evidence that they've helped other people grow closer to God. They don't see any evidence in their lives that they've actually been used by God to bring healing and love and joy into their lives. If that's you today, maybe a little, maybe a lot, Jesus has the solution for you. Jesus wants to tell you the secret. And the secret can be summarized in a little phrase that we're going to be using the next couple of weeks, which is transformation out there begins in here. And Jesus, he taught this in many different ways, many different times, but we're going to look today at what Jesus said to his disciples, 12 disciples, in Matthew chapter 10. But before we get to Matthew chapter 10, beginning around verse 7, we need to kind of look back at the nine chapters leading up to Matthew 10. The 12 disciples are with Jesus. Jesus picked these 12 disciples, and they've been with him, following him for 6 months or so, and they've been watching Jesus give this life change to people all over the place, starting with Peter, you know, and his own family got to see this happen. Peter's mother-in-law suddenly fell very ill with a raging fever. And Jesus just took Peter's mother-in-law by the hand, and within seconds, she was healed. So healed that she got up and she cooked a celebration meal for everybody. Soon after that, a man with leprosy started shouting to Jesus, "Jesus, please heal me!" He had to shout because lepers, by law, had to keep a lot of distance between them and everyone. No one could touch them. But Jesus responded to this man with leprosy by going directly up to this guy no one had touched in years. And Jesus touched him and said, "My friend, be free, be clean." And then Jesus was walking along and he passed a cemetery. And suddenly from the headstones come two men who are filled with this violent rage, and they're snarling with anger at people, shouting obscenities and threatening people who are passing by. And people said to Jesus with fear in their voices, "Oh, Jesus, these two men, they're demon-possessed." But Jesus wasn't afraid. No, Jesus walked right up to these two men, and he commanded the demons to come out of these two men. And Jesus sent the demons into a herd of pigs that were nearby. The pigs, filled with these demons, ran down a hill into the lake and died by drowning. It was history's first case of deviled ham. Wow. Thank you. Certainly it was these two guys' favorite dish, deviled ham, because They were set free. Then Jesus meets a guy who is completely paralyzed. He's lowered before Jesus, and Jesus says something very interesting to this man who's paralyzed. Jesus says, I heal your body with my power to heal every wound, and I heal your soul at the same time with my power to forgive every sin. And with this dual restoration of body and soul, this man leaps up from his bed and jumps for joy. Then all the disciples have this culminating experience of watching Jesus, and this happens in Matthew chapter 9, right before the verses we're going to read. A synagogue leader comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, my daughter has just died. And so Jesus goes to the synagogue leader's house. He kneels at the bedside of this little girl, and he whispers in her ear, wake up, little one. And she rises from the dead, completely alive, to the celebration of all. And there you go. I've now just given you a description of the action of those nine chapters of Matthew leading up to Matthew chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sits down with these 12 disciples who have seen all this life change flowing out of Jesus. And then Jesus looks each one of his disciples in the eye and says, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn to go and bring the same kind of life change that you've seen in me. It's your turn to be a life changer. Listen to Jesus' exact words to his 12 disciples. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, now freely give. Are you frustrated by your lack of life-changing fruit in your life? Well, these words contain Jesus' secret for you. Freely you have received, now freely give. Jesus says, go bring transformation out there, but just remember, freely you receive first inside. Freely, the transformation needs to happen first inside. Freely you receive, then you freely go and give. So let's take this these profound words and study that phrase. Freely you've received, now freely give. What did this phrase mean to those 12 disciples? First, I hope you see the one-to-one correspondence between what those disciples saw Jesus do and what Jesus sent them to do. Jesus said, you saw me heal, right? Remember Peter's mother-in-law? You saw me heal her. Now you go heal the sick. You saw me raise that synagogue's leader's daughter. Now you go raise the dead. Just like I touched the leper, now you go cleanse those of leprosy. Remember those angry men in the among the tombstones? You go now and make some people free and make some demons flee. So first, there's this one-to-one correspondence between what the disciples saw and what Jesus sent them to do as life changers. Then Jesus says, freely you have received, now freely give. That's a curious phrase, isn't it? Because the 12 disciples did not receive the benefit of those miracles, right? The paralyzed man received the benefit. The dead girl received the benefit. The disciples didn't receive the miracle themselves, did they? Well, Jesus says this because he thinks they did receive something. He indicates that they did not just see each miracle, they received something too. Each miracle connected with the life story of each disciple and their experience with Jesus. For instance, Peter was, you know, we find in the Gospels, he's hot-headed, he's rash, he's impulsive, and has a temper. Well, Peter was changed by Jesus, and when he saw Jesus set free those two guys from their violent rage, inner rage, Peter experienced it on a personal level, thinking, that's my story. I've received healing just like those guys. Jesus set me free from my inner anger too. The guy who wrote this gospel, Matthew, he was a despised tax collector before he was a follower of Jesus. And when Jesus touched that leper, I'm sure Matthew was thinking, that's my story. Jesus reached out to me when I was despised and no one would reach out to me. Then there was another disciple called Simon the Zealot. That little phrase, according to historians, a zealot, was a polite way of referring to Simon as something between a freedom fighter and a terrorist. Probably Simon had blood on his hands. And that when Jesus healed this paralyzed man through the power of Jesus' forgiveness, Simon was thinking, that's my story. I was paralyzed in guilt and shame because of my past, and then Jesus healed my soul by forgiving all my sins. And then certainly all the disciples were connecting to the resurrection of that little girl. When Jesus raised her up, all the disciples were thinking, that's my story. Jesus raised me up. He's changed my life. So all the disciples knew that what Jesus meant when he said, freely you have received, now freely give. Those 12 disciples understood that because they had each received life change from Jesus, they each had something to give to others. Jesus is calling me to be a life changer who gives out of the overflow of what I have received in my relationship with Jesus. Jesus teaches that good hearts give out. If I want to be a life changer out there, then I need to start with life change in here. If I'm a Christ follower and I'm frustrated by my lack of impact, the problem, let's get to the problem. The problem is not my receiving from Jesus. There's no problem. Jesus showers all sorts of blessing on each one who follows him. The problem is my lack of giving what I have received from Jesus. Good hearts give out. So if I want to be a life changer, I need to give others what I have received in Jesus. Well, what does that mean? Well, it might mean that if Jesus reached out to me when I was hurt and wounded, then maybe I need to put myself in situations where I can be a friend, just like Jesus was a friend to me. I need to be a friend who can reach out to other people who are hurt and wounded with the same love and healing that I've received from Jesus. If Jesus reached out to me with compassion when I was in addiction or in illness or in trouble, then I should put myself in situations where I can give out the same compassion to people who were trapped, just like I was. If Jesus reached out to me when I was a lost and lonely teenager, then maybe I should reach out to teenagers who are just like I was. Or if Jesus reached out to me when I was a young kid looking for love and acceptance, then maybe I should work with young kids who are looking for love just like I was. Freely I have received, freely I give. Think about kids for a moment. Think about the power of working with kids. If you ask Jesus, I think he would tell you that if you really want to be a life changer, think about working with kids. Jesus loved kids. You know, Jesus lived in a day when just about everybody brushed aside kids and thought they were insignificant, unimportant. They were insignificant to everybody except Jesus. Jesus loved kids and he had a way of lifting them up as if they were the most important people to him. In fact, if you go back to our text, Matthew chapter 10, you'll hear Jesus say this, freely you have received, now freely give. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. If you want to be a life changer, you have to give out. And Jesus says one of the wisest, most rewarding investments that you could ever make would be to give out to a little one. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand if you're here today as a follower of Jesus because somebody told you about Jesus when you were 18 years of age or younger. Researchers tell us that out of everyone who will follow Jesus before they die in the United States, two-thirds of them became Christ followers because someone lovingly shared the gospel with them in the first 18 years of their life. So let's test this theory. Raise your hand if you follow Jesus today because someone shared the gospel with you in the years before your 18th birthday, right now. Now look around, hold them up if you would. Just look around a little bit. I think we have the theory confirmed, wouldn't you say? I think we have it confirmed. And with every one of those hands, behind that hand is a life changer who chose to give out to a kid like you. So as you have freely received, now freely give. Why don't you become a life changer by serving in kids ministry here at Black Rock? We really need help with Vacation Bible School. We'd love to have you join a team so you can be part of this last week in June when we're going to have over 400 kids here singing and playing games, doing crafts, and eagerly ready to hear about Jesus. So as you step into the Welcome Center from this room immediately after this hour, you'll see tables where you can sign up for more information about serving on a team for Vacation Bible School or on what happens here on Sunday morning with our kids and what we call the Cove for the younger kids and the Uptown for the older kids or serving with our Boys and Girls Clubs on Monday nights. Make a change in someone's life. I don't know if you noticed, but I was one of those who raised my hands. I'm here today as a follower of Jesus because somebody shared the gospel with me when I was a kid. That somebody was a Sunday morning kids ministry teacher named Mr. Enstrom. And I have a vivid memory of a day when I was 11 years old. Let's be honest, when you're a middle schooler, life is tough. Life is tough because kids can be brutal with each other, right? And also in middle school, it's tough because, you know, you can feel the full force of rejection, but you really don't have all the emotional tools to be able to deal with that rejection. Anyway, in middle school, 11 years old, I attracted some persecution because of my last name. Instead of calling me Tresh, they would call me Trash. And some of you, you would never make that connection. You would never think of a trash thing. But if you were all middle schoolers, you would all have made that connection. And you would have all thought it was hilarious. And you would have all be convinced that you were the first one to make that hilarious connection between Tresh and Trash. So when kids would call me Trash, I would say things like, at your disposal, and, right? But it would still hurt. And I'll tell you something that would hurt even more. I had two friends named Dave and Tim, and they meant the most to me, but I did not mean the most to them. Some days they were my friends. Some days they made it very clear that I was not wanted and that I was a nobody and that they were not interested in spending time with me and I was left out. And now I want to share with you a vivid memory I had of one day when I was 11 years old. I was in art class. And this is one of those days when Dave and Tim made it clear that I was not wanted, that I was out, that I was nobody, and I felt like I didn't have a friend in the world. But I remember being all by myself, all alone, friendless in this art class, and yet smiling to myself. Smiling and saying to myself, Jesus, I'm so glad that you're a friend that will never leave me and never ditch me. And I knew, I had it in my thought, I had this vivid memory in my mind that at that moment I said, God, as long as you love me, I know everything is going to be okay. And don't be impressed with that mature thought from 11-year-old, because I was just an ordinary 11-year-old kid who had extraordinary adults in my life who taught me how to build my self-image around the eternal love of God in Jesus instead of building my self-image on the not-so-dependable love of my friends. Because Mr. Enstrom taught me in class on Sunday mornings about God's love, on Tuesdays in art class, I had a chance to build my self-worth not on what names people were calling me or what my friends did or didn't do. And I still get choked up when I think about Sunday mornings and Mr. Enstrom, who was a busy man but chose to be a life changer. I still get choked up about how his good heart gave out to me. And I also get choked up when I think about kids who face that kind of rejection today but don't have someone telling them about God's love for them and that he's a friend who will never ditch them. Maybe you can be that person who will be the life changer in the life of one of those kids. Jesus tells you where to start if you want to be a life changer. Jesus says transformation out there begins in here. You start with what you've received from Jesus in here. So in a moment, we're going to have communion together. Those of us who are followers of Jesus, you will receive the bread. You will receive the cup. And as you receive the bread and cup, reflect on what you have received in your personal story with Jesus. And then, as you reflect on what you've received in Jesus, next, listen to the whisper of Jesus in your ear as he smiles with excitement and says, freely you have received, now freely give. Let's pray.
We want to thank you for watching and listening to our sermons online, and we hope that you will be inspired to live more like Jesus through these. Please check out blackrock.org for more information about our church. Know that you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. And also know that you can give to BlackRock and to our ministry through PushPay, through our mobile app, and on our website. Your donations and your support of our ministry allows us to have these videos online and for us to impact our community.